Now I want to tell you this evening that ye shall know the truth. All of God's elect will know the truth, which is Christ. And Christ will make them free from their sin by His grace. But only a few of His elect will know the written truth and be made free from worshiping Him in ignorance. You see, when we got to this country and found the most noble Indians, they were worshiping God the best way they knew how, because they didn't have the Word of God to tell them how. They were worshiping God, all right, but they weren't doing it in the right manner. They were calling Him the Great White Father, and they were sacrificing animals to Him. They had all kinds of customs that they had thought up in their head that they thought might please God, you see. But whenever we came and began to teach them that the Great White Father's name is God, and that His Son's name is Jesus Christ, and that the burden of sin that you feel was paid for by the blood of Christ, and that He is to be worshipped not in temples made with hands, but in the heart that He is prepared by a spirit, then they were able to worship God in spirit and in truth, you see. It's not good enough to worship God just only in spirit, but you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, you know, I don't know how your experience has been, but I've been in churches where I feel like the truth was preached, but there wasn't any spirit. And I've been where the Spirit was, but didn't feel like there was a whole lot of truth that was understood. But it's a marvelous and a beautiful thing when you can go to a place where the Spirit is and where the truth is. Ah, the Spirit of God is most important to a meeting. Without His Spirit, we can do nothing. The Bible tells us that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens. We can do nothing without Him. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Have you ever gone to a church meeting? You might feel this way right now. But anyway, have you ever gone to a church meeting and you thought, boy, that preacher's really struggling. I'm really not getting anything out. The reason why is because the Spirit's not with him and he's not having liberty. Have you ever gone to a meeting and you just seemed to be rejoicing in what the preacher was saying and you were hanging on every word that he was saying, you couldn't wait to hear more? It's because the Spirit was there and there was liberty for him to preach and liberty for you to hear it. A lot of times the preacher can have liberty in the pulpit and you can be bound up in the pew because you hadn't prepared yourself or vice versa. I've gone to places where I come out of the pulpit and think, well, I just didn't preach a lick today. And somebody come around with tears and I was rejoicing. They had liberty to hear, but I didn't have the liberty to enjoy it myself, don't you see? But the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. So the Spirit has to enable us to worship Him. If you don't have the Spirit, you can't do a thing. But the Spirit teaches us to worship God in truth, you see. We're not just to say, well, we've got custom and we don't know why we're doing it, so we'll just keep on doing it because that's the way we've always done it. If we don't have the Scriptures to back us up, we need to discontinue it and do what the Scriptures teach. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. So it's very important to know the truth, because the truth will free you from worshiping God in a way that He didn't tell you to, from doing something that you ought not to, from neglecting something that you should do that you don't know to do. You remember what the Bible said? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not shall be beaten. He that knoweth not to do good and doeth it not shall be beaten with few stripes. But he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, the same shall be beaten with many stripes. The more you learn about the Bible, the more your obligation is to do what the Bible says, because it's freed you from doing it in ignorance. Now, you know, let me give an example of that. Say I was riding down the road in a car. I pulled up to a stop sign and looked both ways and ran through it because I didn't see the stop sign. It was covered up by bushes and just went right on through that intersection without slowing down. And the policeman pulls me over. And he says, why did you run that stop sign? I said, what stop sign? I didn't know there was one there. Well, you know, he'd be probably more apt to let me go than if I pulled up to that stop sign and looked at it real good, looked around instead of stopping, just kind of snuck on through. And then he says, why didn't you stop? And I said, because I was in a hurry. He'd probably slap a good ticket on me then, wouldn't he? But if I didn't know there was a stop sign there, then he'd probably be a little more lenient on me, wouldn't he? All right, suppose that I come through there every morning on the way to work. Every single morning for one solid year, I come through that same intersection. And every single morning I run that same stop sign. And at the end of that year, that policeman pulls me over. And he says, why do you keep running that stop sign? And I said, I didn't know there was a stop sign there. You know, it'd be kind of hard for him to believe that I was telling the truth, wouldn't it? Have you ever seen somebody that knows the truth and comes and rejoices under the sound of the gospel, and then they plead ignorance when it comes to not doing their duty? They've been rejoicing under the gospel for 25 years, but they say they just don't know what their duty is. Kind of hard to believe, isn't it? They've been going to church for 25 years, but they still don't know what their duty is. You see, something's wrong. Either they're closing their ears up whenever they come to church, or they're not paying attention to what's being said. I want to tell you, brethren and sisters, that the more you learn, the more your responsibility is to do what you've learned. He said, he that knoweth not to do good and doeth it not shall be beaten with few stripes. Lenient, you see. But he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not shall be beaten with many stripes. God expects us, the more we learn, the more that we should serve him. And so, and again, it's not the dead alien sinner learning to do something in order to serve God. Dead people don't learn anything. It's the child of God learning that he might serve the Lord. And so we find that a person that's born again of the Spirit of God, that individual knows the eternal truth, and he's been eternally set free by the eternal grace of God. That's all of God's elect. And I believe when the Lord said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, he was talking to his disciples. He was saying to his children that had been born again, that you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to free you from ignorance, and it's going to teach you how to worship me in spirit and in truth. And the more you learn, the more will be expected of you, God's people. So we have known the truth, and we that know the truth this evening have been set free from some things. A good example is this. You ever laid down on your bed at night and worried about what your eternal destiny was? You ever laid down on your bed at night and worried whether or not you were saved? And worried whether or not your husband or wife was saved? Or worried whether or not your mother and daddy were saved? Have you ever laid down on your bed at night and worried whether or not your children were saved or your neighbors were saved? Have you ever had a burden to carry that you had to knock on everybody's door and try to save them the best you could because you was worried about them? When you learn the truth, it sets you free from all of that. I don't lay down in my bed at night and worry whether or not my family is going to heaven, because I know that that's all in God's hands, and he's well capable of taking them there. I don't worry anymore whether or not my neighbors are saved, because I know that if they're one of God's elect, they'll get there, and they don't have, the Lord doesn't need me to get them there. I don't have to worry about those things, but I've been set free from that, because the truth has told me that salvation is by grace and not by works. But you know what I am concerned about this evening? I'm concerned about our neighbors, our friends, our children, our loved ones, and our parents, and our companions that are somewhere else tonight instead of here, that don't know the Word of God, that have not been set free from the things that we've been set free from, that mourn on account of their sins and don't know the remedy. Because you see, the world's telling them the remedy is for them to get right with God. And they've probably tried their best to get right with God, and the harder they've tried, the worse off it's got. They need to be set free from that burden by being told that Jesus Christ has already set them free by his precious blood. They need to be set free from that worry and trouble and pain. And that's our concern this evening as gospel ministers, as gospel deacons, and as gospel members, that we would tell our friends what great things the Lord has done for us, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in him, that they might come and see the great God that has delivered us. I realize my time is gone. May I say this one last thing to you? You remember when the Lord came to the tombs and there was a crazy man out there. There's a man out there who had lost his mind, and he at nighttime would strip himself of all of his garments and run through that graveyard and fall down the stones and gash himself and harm his own self. People were scared of him, and I'm sure that the children told stories about that man in that graveyard and scared one another about it, as children would do. And I'm sure that people avoided the place for fear of what this crazy man might do. The Bible said that when the Lord came by, and I want to show you the power of God, everybody else that passed by just had to kind of watch out for themselves. The Pharisees of that day and the people that lived in that town tried to do what they could. They went in there and tried to bind him up. You know, that's what most preachers are doing today. They see the people that are crazy on the kind of scene, and they just bind them up by putting a law on them and just chain them down. But you know, that won't hold them, because that crazy man even broke those chains and was right back to where that he was. And you can try to serve the law, and you can try to live up to the law, but you'll find out that that can't hold you. You'll find out you can't live up to that law. And you'll be right back down there in that crazy place that you were until the Lord comes by. The Bible said that the Lord came by one time and he found this man. He cast the devils out of that man, and they went into a herd of swine, ran off into the ocean, and drowned themselves. But they said they found the man clothed and in his right mind. Now, you know, that man had life before Jesus ever got to that graveyard, but he couldn't enjoy the life that he had because he was crazy. He was burdened. He had lost his senses. He was in a wrong mind. He was out of his right mind. They'd even chained him one time. And he was a miserable individual, I'm sure. He could not help the condition that he was in. I'm sure the harder he tried to straighten himself out, the worse off it got. He had life, but he couldn't enjoy the life that he had because he was crazy. And I'm telling you, brethren and sisters, the Lord has given eternal life to all of his elect. But so many of them can't enjoy that eternal life because they're burdened down by sin. They've been made crazy by their sin. They're so burdened down that they even go out and begin to worship statues that are built on sides of mountains. People even bow down and pay homage to things that don't even have life in them because they're burdened down with their sins and they're doing the best they can to get out from under it. And if the Lord doesn't come by and clothe them and put them in the right mind, they won't be able to enjoy the life that they have. Oh, it's not the preacher's place to give life. It's not the preacher's place to clothe that individual. But it is the preacher's place to tell them about the one who has the power to do that. It's the preacher's responsibility to tell them about the one that had the power to cast those devils out and to clothe that individual and find him in his right mind. You know something out of that scripture is this, that while that man was naked, he was out of his right mind. And I'd like to go to the beach sometime and tell them folks that they're just not in their right mind. You know, they found that man clothed and in his right mind. Now, we shouldn't be Pharisees about the matter and say, boy, if you go swimming, you're going to be excluded and never be spoken to again. That's not what we're saying. We're saying that people that go around naked and they know it. People that are so scantily clad that our forefathers would have reeked with horror at some of the things that we see today. Brethren and sisters, those people just aren't in their right mind. They may think they're smart, but they're not in their right mind. This man was found clothed and in his right mind. And you know what? He worshipped the great God that did that for him. He didn't worship the apostles. He didn't go around talking about those great preachers that the Lord had with him. All he wanted to talk about was Jesus. And if you've ever been mourning on the account of your sins and you felt like you was just going crazy, the harder you tried to get out from under sin, the worse things got for you. And then the Lord blessed you with the Spirit and a sweet peace flooded your soul. And you felt like that, I don't know how, but I just believe everything's going to be all right because the Lord is near. You were clothed and in your right mind, spiritually speaking. You don't want to talk about them great preachers the Lord sent. You want to talk about the one that sent them. You want to talk about the Lord, the one that gave you the peace that you have this evening. And that's our desire. You see, that's the truth, and it's made us free. Free from so many things. Freed us from sin, and freedom freed us from sinning. The great truth, Jesus Christ freed us from sin when he died for our sins upon the cross. And this truth will keep us from sinning, practicing sin, if we will follow its commandments. We don't do it to get life, do we? We do it because we have life. You can chain up a dead man, and it won't matter. He doesn't know he doesn't have life. It don't matter if he got chains on him or not. You can chain a dead alien sinner, and it don't matter. He doesn't know. That doesn't mean anything to him. You can chain up a man that's got life, and he's miserable. I'm telling you, brethren, we're not seeking to teach the truth to dead alien sinners to get them life. That don't mean nothing to them. This Bible doesn't mean a thing to the dead alien sinner. But the child of God has been chained up by sin. The child of God has been burdened down by the law service, has been told he's got 1,000 things to do and he better get busy tonight. The child of God is burdened down with that chain. This gospel will loosen and let him go, as they did Lazarus when the Lord, after the Lord had given him life, and spoke to him in the grave. So God speaks to the dead alien sinner and gives him life. The word of God will loosen him so many things and teach him the perfect way of God. Thank you for your good attention this evening.